Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my work in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. My defense to those who examine me is this. Do we not have a right to eat and drink? Do we not have a right to take along a believing wife, even as the rest of the apostles and brothers of the Lord and Cephas? Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Who at any time serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat the fruit of it? Who tends a flock and does not use the milk of the flock? I'm not speaking these things according to human judgment, am I? Or does not the law also say these things? For it's written in the law of Moses, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing. God is not concerned about oxen, is he? Or is he speaking altogether for our sake? Yes, for our sake it was written, because the plowman ought to plow in hope, the thresher to thresh in hope of sharing the crops. If we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? If others share the right over you, do we not more? Nevertheless, we did not use this right, but we endure all things, that we may cause no hindrance to the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share with the altar? And so also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. But I have used none of these things, and I am not writing these things that it may be done so in my case, for it would be better for me to die than have any man boast my make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free of all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law as though without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run? Only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games, they exercise self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Amen. Remember, chapter 9 is obviously connected with chapter 8. And in fact, it goes all the way to the beginning of chapter 11. And he's dealing with this issue of meat that sacrificed to idols. And so he's making a statement based on one of the questions most likely the Corinthian church gave to through Titus and got to Paul. And so when you see the word now concerning, he's dealing with questions now that they have. This chapter 9 is an extension of chapter 8. Remember, chapter 8, the primary message was love triumphs over knowledge. You may have knowledge in these things, but love actually triumphs over it. Now what Paul is doing, he's actually giving us a personal illustration from his life, but at the same time also addressing other questions. It says in verse 3, it says, my defense to those who examine me is this. And so probably part of the letter dealt with another aspect of Paul's life, and so Paul responds to that question, but with an overall idea of the whole question of, what should I do? This gray area, dealing with meat that is sacrificed to idols. How should I live this life? And when Paul says that he's going to refrain from doing things if it means that others would come into the knowledge of God, that with this act of love to his brethren, to refrain from doing some activity. So he's continuing on in this thing. And so he comes off and he says, look, I'm free, aren't I? I'm an apostle. And he makes the case. And then he says, look, we have a right to eat and a right to drink. We also have a right to take a believing wife. The word believing wife actually translated is actually means sister in the faith. And apparently in church history, Peter took a member of the congregation and she became his wife. And so it may have caused a little bit of, not necessarily scandal, but maybe a little bit of eyebrow raising. In the same way, you know, one of our, I don't know if we say rules or guidelines, even for our house church, we say, hey, house church leaders should not be dating house church members. It's not something that's written in stone per se, but it's written just so there doesn't seem to be any kind of look of any kind of impropriety in terms of a teacher and a student, that kind of thing. Now, obviously, if I'm not disqualifying, if God is in it, then God's in it, right? But it's just a simple guideline that we use, because even we understand, you know, there's some things. I know pastor friends of mine that, especially youth pastors, that actually marry their students. But, you know, after they graduate from college and whatnot. But even some people would be like, man, that's kind of, you know, there's kind of like, oh, what, she's your student? You know, and you deal with that kind of stuff. And so you can imagine in a very similar context, that's what's happening here. And he says, look, don't we have a right to take a sister that we've trained to become our wife? Don't we have a right to eat? And he says, yes, of course we have a right. And so he's addressing these certain things that people were kind of nitpicking Paul about in the way that he was living his life. But the whole, don't miss out on these little nuances of points. The whole point is, yes, we have a right to this, we have a right to that, we have a right to this, we have a right to do this. In fact, the other guys are doing this as well. We have a right to receive money for our service, for our ministry. And an absolute right to do this, but we don't. That's the key. We have a right to do all kinds of things, but Paul says, I reserve my right to act on these things. Why? Because the most important thing for Paul was the gospel was being preached. He's saying that, yes, he's making a case, yes, this and this, X, Y, Z, I have no issue. My conscience is clear. And in fact, it should be noted very well that the other apostles are doing these things. And so this is a non-issue, but I actually refrain from doing this because the most important thing for Paul is the gospel. See, yesterday I mentioned it towards the end that was his life purpose. His purpose was to share the gospel. And so when you look at life and you take that purpose of sharing the gospel, of leading people to Christ and saving people from eternal damnation, and you take that, and then it becomes these other little issues like, all right, so I'm not going to drink publicly, which is gray area, you know, or I'm not going to do this. And when you look at that compared to this, it seems so much like folly, doesn't it? I mean, we're sitting here, and we do this as Christians, we're sitting here arguing our rights all the time, and just dealing with these petty matters when God wants to use us for the gospel. I mean, just it almost seems so childish, doesn't it? I want to do this, and I have a right to do this, and I can do this and that. And yet, the whole purpose and the purpose of Paul's life was the gospel. He has this great line from verse 20. It says, to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, he's talking about Gentiles now, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And this is Paul's kind of magnus opus. This is his whole life goal, that I do all things for the sake of the gospel. That was Paul's heart. So everything he does is for the sake of the gospel. So does it matter if he takes a wife? He doesn't care. Does it matter if he does? He doesn't care. You know, all these other things that we get so bogged down in our Christian life, about this is my right, I can do this, I can do that. Paul says, no, look, the goal of my life is the gospel. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. And I feel like a lot of times that in our life, as we go through gray areas and we go through how to live the Christian life, a lot of times we lose focus, or we can actually very easily lose our way because we don't have a goal. We don't have a purpose in mind. We're just living life. You know, or in some ways, the purpose could simply be, I want to be happy or something like that. That's not really the best way to live your life. You know, but that's most of the world operates in that. And he says, but if you have a goal, Paul's goal was the gospel. And it was a very clear goal. And then everything came under that goal. And so even areas that were gray or whatnot, it could be easily taken care of because his goal was the gospel. I've become all things to all men. This doesn't mean he changes who he is, but the goal is the gospel. And so what matters if he has to come under the law on some matters? Even though he says, even though I'm not under the law, what's the big deal if he refrains from doing some things that he has a legal right to do? What matters if he lives like a Gentile, even though he's still under the law, but the law of Christ now, which is a higher law than even the law of Moses? And so, and he says, what does it matter if I do that? Because it's all about the gospel. And then Paul brings about this whole idea, and I think he sums it up quite well. And he's talking about the Greek games. Notice one thing about the Greek games is that you have to be Greek to compete in the games. And so he's making a conclusion that if you want to be in the service of the Lord, you need to be of the Lord first. In other words, you need to be, this is talking to save people here, you need to be saved in order to compete or to run this kind of race. And so he's talking in this matter, and he's talking about these games, and he says, look, these athletes, they exercise self-control to compete in these games. He's saying you as Christians, you're bought with the price, you should also exercise self-control to compete in this game of faith, this game of the Christian life. And he says, look, when I box, and I don't know if Paul is an athlete, but he, out of anyone in the scriptures, he actually has the most illustrations that are athletic. He's talking about boxing, running, all kinds of things. And he's saying, you know, he's actually even talking about working out in a few passages. And he said that when I box, I box in such a way that I win. And so because as a child of God, as a follower of Christ, you are in these games. This thing called the Christian life, or, you know, I'm making this analogy of the Greek games. Guess what? You're participating in these games. You are there. And so train yourself, buffet yourself so that you win. Yeah, I mean, this is a powerful statement. There's so many Christians in the Christian life right now, in the family of God, that are part of the games, but they're not training themselves, one. Number two, they're not competing to win. Actually, I don't know what they're doing. They're just there. They just exist. You know? I mean, that's not very good. And he says, man, you're competing in the games. You compete to win. I mean, he's not talking about being competitive, and it's not for ourselves, because what he's talking about is talking about the gospel. It's talking about people's lives at stake. And so when you're at work, you know, you compete to win. Not in terms of getting everything you can, but in terms of the gospel. God places you in a certain place, in a certain position. Act like an athlete, and you're there to win. You're there to win people to the Lord. You're not there just to exist. I mean, I think there's enough athletes in here to understand. I mean, you're in a competition, and you're just there to have fun. That's not what the competition is for. I tell you, no Olympic athlete goes through rigorous years of training just to have fun. Sacrifice a lot just to have fun? I don't think so. And so in the same way, he says, look, man, I buffet my body and make it my slave. In other words, my passions are not master over me. I am master over my passions. Lest possibly after I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. And he's saying, look, man, I'm in this game. I'm here to win. I'm here to be all things to all men by that all means that I can save some. Now, Paul's realistic. He's not going to save everybody, but he's going to save some around him, especially the ones that God gives him influence over. And so he's going to do everything he can do to save that person. Can you imagine if we had this kind of heart, that everything he does, everything we do is for the sake of the gospel? I mean, this world, I think, would be a very, very different place. Don't you agree with me? I think incredible things would happen in our lives. So let's close our eyes today. There was this game show in the U.S. I forgot what it was called, but I just remember the catch line. He said, the guy would always ask, are you in it to win it? It's probably a good catch line for us. When we talk about this Christian life, are you just merely taking a breath or taking a seat in the church? Are you in it to win it? Are you here to make an impact in people's lives? Are you here to affect people in a supernatural way? I always remember my friend said this in a message one time. You know, and he said, for all of eternity, we will worship the Lord. For all of eternity, we will grow in knowledge. For all of eternity, we'll have fellowship. But he said, we only have one lifetime to win the lost. And we focus so much on worship and fellowship and growing in knowledge. He says, we'll do those things for eternity. But God only gives us one lifetime to win the lost. Let's pray for Paul's heart. I mean, myself too, I need to pray for Paul's heart in my life. And it's all for the sake of the gospel. As Monica leads us in a song of worship, just invite you to go before the Lord.
Be my hope, be my God, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in this sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus. Jesus,
Jesus, be my vision.
Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus,
be my vision.
Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in this sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus,
Let's pray this morning. Let's pray for just the heart of Paul. Let's pray for that singular vision to be expressed through our lives. As the Lord leads us, as He guides us with people and individuals around us, let's pray that our lives would be about the gospel. That we're not living our lives for ourselves, out of our selfishness or our self-centeredness. That it's really... our life is about the gospel. We're placed on this planet for a purpose. And that the people of God, the Solomon's porch, individuals, that we would live this life with that purpose in mind. God's purposes. Now let's pray right now. Let's pray for our community, particularly ones that are sick right now and ones that are going through different treatments. Also, our missionary, the cousin Vince, he needs a transplant right away. Let's just pray for God's provision over his life and healing. And so let's lift up all of our friends and loved ones that are going through a season of sickness, and let's pray for healing word to continue to flow. And let's lift up. Pray for our friends, especially in the area of salvation, along with their illnesses. Let's pray that God would heal them, but more so than healing their body, that they'd heal their spirit. And so let's lift up these ones, and also ones that are sick, going through different things, different illnesses, non-cancer related. Let's just lift them up as well. Let's pray for our community that are looking for work. Let's pray that God would provide for them, and the Lord would really move on their behalf. Let's go to our mission focus today, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Oh, pray for New Life Church, Pastor Tang, the orphanage. Pray for Grace and Bloom. Grace actually will be here next week, and so let's pray for her time here. Let's pray for the Philippines. Let's pray for our clinic and for Elder Chang and for Bhutan. Let's ask God to continue to open doors in this country. Actually, my friend Tom is in Bhutan right now doing a basketball camp. And so let's pray for him. And there's two basketball teams from the States that are there. And so let's just ask for God's favor through them. Let's just lift up these countries and ask God to move powerfully in these places. Thank you. Let's pray for our mission trips coming up to Cambodia. Let's pray for the one in Bloom and also the worship conference in the end of July, early August. Let's ask God's hand to be with the leaders as they plan, the members as they prepare, they get ready. God would equip them for every good work. And so let's just lift up these teams to the Lord. Let's pray for our church ministries, and let's pray for our IP team. I'll pray for its members and ask the Lord to protect them as they fight the good fight of faith. Pray for Matt as he leads. Pray for Cascade. Ask the Lord to continue to use them to lead people into healing. Pray for the well and local outreach. Pray for the leaders. Pray for all the members that come out to the outreaches or the other ministries. And let's pray for a real effective ministry that will really flow. Pray for signs and wonders and healing as the well lays hands on people. And so let's lift up the members and its leaders and their ministry times. Let's pray for house churches meeting tonight. Let's ask God's hand and favor to be with them. Pray for Causeway Bay, McRobinson, Tregunter, Taiwan, and Kennedy Road. Let's pray for the leaders and each of the members. And something of the work of God, the Spirit of God, would really hover during our meetings tonight. And let's pray. Thank you this morning, God. We thank you for the opportunity to come and pray and to seek your face, God, to intercede for the body. As we go into our personal prayer times now, Lord, we just ask that you would just continue to move through us, God. Let us be, God, your heart and your mouthpiece to bring about the purposes, God, of your heart to this planet, to this earth. We thank you, God. We pray, God, that we would, Lord, be moved, God, as Paul was moved, Lord, that we would do all things for the sake of the gospel. Watch over us, God. We thank you. Lord, watch over us the rest of this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Enjoy your time of prayer, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.